70. The Killing Moon.
Wait.
Voza held up her fist without glancing back at the Bandogora warriors who stood behind her, and they came to a halt. They'd made their way up from the hangar toward the prison's main holding level, encountering almost no resistance from the remaining residents of this place. Not that she'd expected any. These inmates seemed to be dying faster and faster around them, dropping to their knees without so much as a whimper. The corpses, the smell of them, reminded her of Bogdan, the burial moon where so much had changed for her. Of the handful of armed maniacs they'd confronted in the prison's utility corridors, only one or two had presented the slightest challenge to her soldiers. Using their staffs, the Gora had gutted them and ripped them to shreds, accomplishing Voza's bidding with the mindless, unwavering obedience to which she herself had enslaved them. It had happened quickly. A streaking storm of violence, then stillness. Watching them go about their dark and bloody work brought her no sense of pride, although it did appease some dark and atavistic hunger within her, a need to establish dominance over the situation and impose her will upon it. For her, stability and power would always be a matter of conquest, the relentless commitment to absolute mastery. After what had happened with the Jedi and her former master, she would never allow herself to feel out of control again. It would be a form of suicide. Now she stood motionless, her mind reaching out into the rippling currents of the Force until she became aware of its most pronounced disturbance. Maul was here, closer than she'd hoped. And after she had found him and taken possession of the weapon that she'd been summoned here to acquire, she would kill him. Gladly.
This way,
she instructed them, giving the order silently, a telekinetic command that sent them down a corridor. Her heart was beating faster now, driving her forward. And it might have been that sense of reckless urgency that allowed her to walk into what happened next. Rounding the corner, she saw it. The thing to which her Force sensibilities had somehow been blinded. On either side, her warriors froze in their tracks. The creature in front of them was a colossal, gelid horror, its engorged presence filling the entire concourse in front of them. Voza realized that it was some kind of roiling white worm, 5 meters high and perhaps 3 times as long, its hooked, leech-like mouth currently filled with the still-squirming bodies of the inmates it had devoured. The thing rounded on them, raising its hideous blind head with a sudden jerk that caused the severed lower half of the torso it had been eating to fall back out on the floor. When it lunged forward, mouth parts peeling back, the Gora attacked it with their staffs, strafing it with balls of energy that exploded off the worm's slick and pulsating skin without stopping it. It recoiled, flattening itself against the floor, then shot forward again with speed that defied its great dripping bulk. Before Voza could command her soldiers to step back, the worm opened its mouth, sucking 2 of the warriors into its maw. Voza activated her lightsabers and dove at it. Slashing both blades across the thing's flesh, she carved deep lacerations into its underside. Pale yellow fluid came trickling out, sticky and viscous, and with it, Voza realized that she could hear the voice or voices of the worm inside her head, a tangled litany of threats and pleas for mercy.
Jedi is here.
Kill us, Jedi.
Set us free.
Rip your lungs from your chest!
Tear the scream from your lips!
Devour you whole!
Voza sprang at it again, her blades coming to life in a blinding, gyroscopic storm of Jarkai technique that had served her so well in the past. Spinning both blades in the rising whirlwind maneuver, she launched a frontal attack on the worm's underbelly. Its innards spilled out, layers of pulsating fat and vessels sluicing outward to fill the open corridor around her ankles. Throughout it all, Voza didn't yield or even slow her attack. Rather, she gave herself over to it completely, allowing the killing rage to transport her into a state of weightless abandon. Badly wounded, the thing reared back again, as if what she'd done had introduced it to pain that it had never known before. It jerked sideways and went slithering quickly backward through an open hole in the wall behind it. For a moment, Voza stood with both lightsabers still activated and her army behind her, all of them waiting for what might happen next. Had the thing run off somewhere to die? In that instant, she allowed herself to think that the battle, this part of it at least, might be over. Then the ceiling moved above her. Her soldiers, as one, lifted their heads and looked up. When the ceiling blasted open, the worm came spilling down on top of them with a deafening crash, flattening the warriors in an avalanche of its flesh. At once, Voza knew she'd underestimated the thing's cunning, and now she understood what those tangled voices in her head had represented. The conflagration of innate sensibilities, survival skills, and pure vicious instinct that comprised its hive mind. The last of the Bandogora warriors edged back, clutching their staffs, momentarily shaken and awaiting new orders. Voza waited, facing off against the thing herself. The worm lifted its head, its mandibles clicking and snapping audibly with a spastic, giddy eagerness. From this distance, Voza could see that the cuts she'd inflicted on it had already begun to crust over and heal. Then it opened its mouth, unhinging its jaws to the widest possible extent. The result was hideous. In that moment, the thing actually seemed to become all mouth, until the entire front of its head was nothing more than an enormous gaping black hole that, for an instant, loomed as wide as the corridor itself. This time, even the Bandogora were not fast enough. Sucking in, the worm inhaled them all in a great slurping vacuum, clearing the space around Voza in the space of a heartbeat. Yet she stood her ground, lightsabers ready, reaching out to the thing, or whatever element of sentience it might have possessed. "What are you?" she asked aloud, startled by the sound of her own voice. And although she'd hardly expected an answer, one was forthcoming, put forth in an outburst of varying tones and inflections.
"We are
that which you fear most."
Voza drew in a breath. The terrible coldness spread through her like nothing she'd felt since her early days on Bogdan, when the Gora torturers had worked day and night to break her spirit, crush her body, and drive her to the brink of insanity, and ultimately beyond, into what she'd become now. The moment was excruciating. It was like looking in a mirror and seeing her two selves. Who she had once been under Dooku and the Jedi Council, and what she'd become. Her own pitiless face reflected back at her in the soulless, grasping mandibles of this blind and unstoppable predator.
"We are you."
"No," she managed, but it was too late. It came at her again in one quick lunge, and Voza reacted without thought, using an instinctive burst of force push to drive herself backward up the corridor, opening up a 20-meter gap between herself and the thing. It was enough time and space to allow her to hit the floor in a dead run and not look back. Looking back on those vertiginous moments, when time itself had become a blur and conscious thought was utterly lost to her, Voza remembered little. She had never fled from another opponent like that before, which was perhaps why it felt so utterly disorienting. It wasn't so much the worm that she was trying to outrun, but what the thing had promised her within itself. a final resting place where her identity would descend into the murk of murderers, crime lords, tyrants, and anonymous scum whose agonies would ultimately become as familiar to her as her own. In the end, she would be just another voice crying out from inside the great swollen tube of the thing's being. At last, her steps slowed down and she regained control over herself. Resolve came quickly. No one would ever be allowed to know what had happened here. There was no reason to speak of it. Coming here had been a mistake. She was preparing to leave, to find her way back down to the ship, when she heard screams coming from up the corridor. And in the silence that followed, the voice of the one she'd been sent to meet. Maw.